as we move from
now
the
KSR. Now
booking
sleepovers at Grayton Resort and Casino. Go all in when you spend the night with us. Book your destination all in today at GraytonResortCasino.com.
It is the KSRL Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. We're moving from the greenhouse to the kitchen. Good morning, Chef John Ash.
Good morning.
Have you ever eaten at this restaurant called Burma Superstar?
I have. A couple of times, yeah.
Well, I've eaten there for many, many years down on Clement Street in San Francisco. And lo and behold, here in our hands is the Burma Superstar cookbook, brand new, called Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Desmond Tan, the owner of the restaurant, and co-author Kate Leahy are both here in the KSRO kitchen. We're going to taste some of the world-famous Burma Superstar salad this morning. I think this is a radio first, isn't it? Having the Burma Superstar salad prepared for us on the radio show in real time.
It's fantastic. We have to do this every week.
So first of all, Desmond, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you here. And Kate, thank you for coming in also.
Thank you.
Co-writing the book with Desmond. Let me just start with just a little bit about history of Desmond. You were born in Burma, and when did you come to the United States?
When I was about 11 years old, maybe back in 1977. Right.
And you were born in, is it Rangoon?
Correct. Rangoon, now Yangon in the past.
They changed names.
Yangon is a new name, Rangoon in the past, right.
And now it's Burma is now Myanmar?
Myanmar.
So they like to change names of cities and countries.
It actually, yeah, it was hard writing the book because you had to figure out, at one point it's Burma, but then it changes to Myanmar, and I had to figure out a way to explain that without, you know. So we had to kind of use both names in the book, you know, because Desmond, when you were born, it was Burma. When you came to the U.S., it was still Burma. Halfway through, it turned into Myanmar.
So you're not going to change the name of the restaurants to Myanmar Star.
Myanmar Superstar. No,
right?
We're not.
It doesn't have the same ring.
Yeah.
So your family comes, some of your family comes to the Bay Area, and you didn't come to start a restaurant.
No, we didn't. We left with a very little amount of money. Came to the country. You know, my father worked in gas stations. I started my middle school here, and I was thinking about, you know, opening a restaurant.
You're thinking of surviving the meat bullies. Right.
Well, it was interesting in the beginning of the book. You said that you never learned how to cook, really.
Correct.
Because that was women's work.
It wasn't women's work, but I didn't. It was a lot of work, you know, shopping, prepping, cooking, cleaning. I mean, I do like eating. You know, I enjoy eating Burmese food. And my mom just used to joke, and, you know, she'll ask me, where are you going to eat Burmese food when I die? over the years, many years later, the only restaurant that I went to, Burma Superstar, became available for sale because it wasn't doing well.
Was it called Burma Superstar back in the 90s when it was
Correct.
Up and around?
Correct.
And you used to eat there?
I used to eat there with my family.
And then it became, the owners decided, we've had enough.
We had enough. It wasn't doing well. And Clement wasn't what it is today. I think in those days, Clement was a second Chinatown. And a lot of the restaurants there just competed with, you know, each other with price. And, you know, a lot of restaurants, they go out of businesses because, you know, everything was so cheap and, you know, it wasn't sustainable. And so Burma Superstar was one of them.
So you say, sure, I want to be a restaurant owner. I'm going to take this over. I'm going to make it an incredible success. What is it going to take? The guy makes you make an offer, and he goes, sure.
I love the comment from your wife. It's like, well, how difficult can it be to run a restaurant?
So, yeah, so that was Joyce Lynn Lee. So what happened was, I don't remember the dates, but on one Saturday we went there to eat a Burma Superstar, you know, with Joyce Lynn and I, probably about at 1 p.m. And someone came in, and he seems like it was very distraught, and said, "I heard the restaurant was being sold." And I said, "Oh my God, you know, I love this restaurant," so I did too. And in those days, there were only two Burmese restaurants that I'm aware of. Burma Superstar, and another great restaurant, Mandalay. Mm-hmm. But we always just ate at Burma Superstar. And I was just thinking, okay, where am I going to eat my Burmese food now? So, then at that point, Joyce said, why don't you buy it? How difficult can running a restaurant be? But keep in mind, in those days, having a restaurant, owning a restaurant, or even cooking wasn't really popular. Mm-hmm. And the Burma Superstar definitely was a little hole in the wall restaurant, really dingy.
So you went in, you had to really clean things up. The kitchen, I'm sure, was probably really small and funky, and you had to take stuff out. You tried to, retain some of the staff, at least the cooking staff at that point?
Yeah, it wasn't too difficult. I had a meeting with all the staff, and the intention wasn't to make money. When we purchased the restaurant, the intention was just to keep it as a Burmese restaurant. Mm-hmm. And what we did was talk to different people, all the staff, and the way I asked the previous owner, Mr. Wu. Hey, how can I keep these people? Well, just give them a raise. So he did, and that was
easy.
Okay, that was pretty easy, considering that their pay was not very high at that point. And just started, like you said, cleaning up the restaurant.
So how did the restaurant get its name? Do you know? I mean, you inherited that, but...
I don't want to hog up the microphone,
Kate. No.
Yeah.
It's your restaurant.
You talked to Mr. Wu also. I think that they wanted to introduce Burmese food, take Burmese food to a high level. And obviously, they wanted to be successful. They wanted to be a star on Clement Street. Basically, I guess beyond star. They wanted to be a superstar.
And that's why they named it that. There was a comment in the book about the ghost chair.
Right.
Yeah, that was something really interesting when Joyce Lynn told me about the ghost chair. It was this sort of beat-up chair that was in the restaurant. And, Desmond and Joyce Lynn, as you're looking at the restaurant, you're thinking, we want to fix things up. We want to, make this a better work environment for our staff. And you're thinking, well, the first thing needs to go is this beat-up chair. We'll get you a new chair. And they're thinking, no, you can't move that chair. That chair is the ghost chair. If you move that chair, we're going to upset the ghosts, and you don't want to upset the ghosts, right?
It seems superstitious, but is the ghost chair still there at the original, at the Boomer?
Over the years, I think having a door out to the back was more important than trying to appease the ghosts. So, so we put the ghost chair at another corner.
It's still there.
It's still there?
Yeah. No, it's still there, but...
Maybe it's a newer chair now.
It's a newer chair. That's right. And I think the corner is a better corner. He would have been dealing with a lot of traffic, people going in and out.
So you in the beginning of the book, you talk about, which I found fascinating, what is Burmese food? Because I think for people who haven't been there, it's a fusion of Chinese and Indian, I guess, and other influences. I had no thought that there's a British influence there.
It's really interesting to think of Burmese food. What is Burmese food? Because a lot of times I think of it as like, what's American food in a way? Because one of the things I learned coming into this project is... I had to learn what Burmese food was, not having a Burmese background. And what I learned is that there are so many different minority groups and ethnicities in Myanmar itself today and for centuries, that the food has evolved. It's a very regional food. And you get influences from Chinese immigrants, from Indians coming into into Rangoon in the 1920s especially. But you also have distinct ethnic groups from the different states. Mm-hmm. So Shan food in Yangon, if you go into Yangon, you'll see all these restaurants that are Shan noodles, Shan tofu. And Shan food is extremely popular. It's a popular sort of ethnic food in Yangon. So it really is. It's like looking at American food, what is American mm-hmm. food? Looking at Burmese food, it really is like a melting pot cuisine of Southeast Asia.
We'll take a break at that point. Be right back with Burma Superstar, new cookbook called Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Desmond Tan, his family founded Burma Superstar and owns that, and I believe two other locations, one in the Mission area and one in Oakland, too. So do we have three now locations?
And Alameda.
Alameda, not Oakland.
And Oakland.
Oh, and yeah. Oakland. Why, the empire expands. It's delightful that they've come up from San Francisco to sit in with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, live on the KSRO Good Food Hour, celebrating 30 years, bringing you the best in radio food and beverages right here in Sonoma County and beyond.
Golden State Warriors play-by-play on KSRO is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden, La Vida Buena Nursery, and Ma and Pa Gardens. Savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, Parsons homegrown hothouse tomatoes, and healthy green salads. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, rabbit, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Chalk Hill Cookery provides yummy plant-based foods, and Lata's Indian Cuisine is always a sellout. Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder and fresh crabs. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Enjoy Easter with the family at the Inn at the Tides in beautiful Bodega Bay. Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides serves fresh local seafood, California and Italian cuisine year-round. All ingredients are sourced locally and organic when available. Make this holiday special and enjoy a relaxing Easter Sunday with the family at the Bayview Restaurant with a special menu served from 10:30 to 7. Start with a complimentary mimosa, then enjoy first courses like ahi poke or asparagus bisque. Then select main courses that include crab cake benedict or their grilled filet mignon with truffle demi-glace. Then finish with specially created desserts featuring their Sicilian cannoli or coppa gelato. Reservations are being accepted now. Children 12 and under are half priced. The Inn at the Tides is less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
Hi, I'm Roger Maples with Maples Service. At Maples Service, we are ready to take care of all your plumbing needs, from a leaky faucet to a water heater or even a sewer line backup. Our goal at Maple Service is 100% customer satisfaction. Maple Service, your plumber for life.
If you need to have some plumbing done and you want to know what to do, call Maple Service first and we'll take care of you.
From dining, entertainment, health and wellness, and family fun, the best deals in Sonoma County are just a click away at mysonomadeals.com. Right now, get two sessions at Calistoga Cryo for whole body cryotherapy. The sub-zero temperatures activate your body's natural healing process in just 3 minutes. Normally $115 value, but right now on mysonomadeals.com, it's only $55. But hurry, because it's for a limited time only. This great deal and others only at mysonomadeals.com. That's mysonomadeals.com.
News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen this morning, welcome. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash and Desmond Tan, the owner-founder of Burma Superstar. in San Francisco and in Oakland and in Alameda and in the Mission District in San Francisco, is with us, co-author of the new cookbook, Burma Superstar, Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia, co-author Kate Leahy.
The two of you get together?
Through a literary agent, actually. Yeah. I came into the Oakland restaurant and had lunch with Desmond and his team, and we just kind of talked. And then, I don't know, Desmond, you're just like, so, you know, you want to do this book? And I thought, you know, I got to think about this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be like, are there any recipes that are written down already? Nope. And I said, okay. So I'd have to go into the kitchen and get all the recipes from your cooks. Yep. I said, all right, let me see. I got to look at my schedule.
But what happens in the restaurant and what happens at home are really kind of two different things. So you had to then do a second translation for the home cook.
Right. So I had to, there's this great, the head cook at the Oakland restaurant is a guy named Nin. And he's been, Desmond, how long has he worked for you? A long time.
Oh, 7 years.
7 years. A really wonderful chef. He is an immigrant from, he's the Chin ethnic minority group, another ethnic minority from Yangon, from Burma. And he walked me through a lot of the recipes. And I'd say, okay, so you're doing it this way. What would it be like if I did a smaller, smaller size? Yeah.
And you had mentioned that Chin is this very small state within Burma, and there was a Chin corn soup in the book, I recall. So this is another important ethnic minority within Burma that contributes a different style of food.
Right, a different style of food. It's very mountainous in the Chin state. It's almost like it's close to Nepal, so I think there's some similarities there with the food from Nepal and the food from the Chin state. And there are actually, it's not easy to find Chin restaurants in Myanmar today, but there's been a lot of Chins who have moved to the United States and have resettled in the U.S. So I have a feeling that in the future, it's going to be easier to find Chin Burmese food in the U.S. Wow. than it will be to find it actually in, say, Yangon.
That's really interesting, because Chinese food's not just Chinese food anymore, and perhaps Burmese food will now have these regional specialty restaurants.
We know 20 years, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. So we gave a brief definition of what is Burmese-style food. Getting into the cookbook, and especially the style of ingredients, I noticed there's some tamarind and sour components and sour leaf that are not in Thai and Vietnamese and Chinese food.
Well, they are.
Or they are partially?
Oh, yeah. Tamarind's a very important part of Southeast Asian cooking, both in Thailand and Vietnam. I think what there is, for me, is this kind of, well, you use the term mashup of Indian and Chinese kind of ingredients that come together in really different ways. Is that fair?
I say that's fair.
Yeah.
And another thing that adds a layer that if you're going to talk about what's different about Burmese food, and Desmond, chime in if you think I'm going off the deep end here. But I think to me, when you compare it to the food of Thailand or Vietnam, it's a little bit. It has more sour, more pungent flavors. Mm-hmm. It's not as interested in getting sweet notes. So that's when things like tamarind and shrimp paste really come in handy to give. It's really about a deep flavor, a savory note, and then sour to kind of balance out that savory.
So shrimp paste is a really important ingredient in Burmese cooking.
Fish sauce.
I think
maybe if I have to distinguish the Thai food and the Burmese food, would be, I think Thai, it's a bit sour, sweet, spicy. Mm-hmm. Burmese food is not sweet. It's spicy, salty, and sour.
But not hot.
Not hot.
Yeah, not spicy.
It is spicy.
Well, some foods, I think the Rakhine state, that's where you get the really spicy food, but other parts aren't as spicy as, say Thai, Thailand. But you can get a lot of spice. I think we went to a restaurant in Yangon, the Rakhine, a place that specializes in Rakhine seafood, and we were sweating. Mm. It wasn't just the heat. It was the chilies that we didn't see coming.
A lot of different chapters in the book. Well, let's just jump into the curries and the slow-cooked dishes chapter, and any of the dishes that you think our listeners would enjoy making and are approachable.
No, I think one of the most popular dishes in the restaurant and one of the most fun to make at home, I think, is the pumpkin pork stew, because it's not hard to make. It doesn't take ingredients that will take you a long time to find. And it's just really a warming dish. The pumpkin is actually kabocha squash, and you can cook the kabocha squash separately and serve it alone as a really nice side dish. It just has garlic and ginger and some turmeric. And if you serve that outside, you know, that's a great vegetarian side dish for somebody.
Another one that you wrote, Kate, if you only cook one dish from the entire book, it's the chicken coconut curry.
You can't not like that dish. You know, it's a really good, it's just a really good foundational dish that at home, I will just serve that with rice. But Desmond, at the restaurants, you serve that with noodles, with the flatbread, the plath of flatbread.
So very versatile.
Yeah, we serve it as a noodle soup.
As a noodle soup.
It's a soupy dish. And another version is to serve it with a dip, with the roti paratha bread or a thousand layer bread. And another way is to serve it not soupy, but a thicker base, kind of like a dry noodle type of a dish.
You know, what it reminded me of, it again, is that kind of drawing from all parts of Southeast Asia. There's a Malaysian dish called laksa, right, which uses similar ingredients, but I think there's a different outcome here.
Yeah, it's a very, and I think that's why it's also a very popular dish too, because you can, there's a familiarity there. You have this dish and you think, I understand these flavors. They're comfort food flavors, you know.
The second chapter is vegetables, and you have a whole page devoted to sour leaf in this book. Describe why this warranted an entire page.
I want more people to eat sour leaf. I think Desmond thought I was a little nuts because I kept asking everybody about sour leaf, and it's sort of because when you're in when we're traveling around Myanmar, we saw sour leaf with shrimp served everywhere in bamboo. It's a very common dish, and sour leaf actually grows pretty easily, and but it's something that most people who aren't Burmese have never heard of. But if you go to farmers markets that have Asian ingredients and you know who to ask, the sour leaf is the first thing that sells out. I would have to get to the farmers market, the Alamany Farmers Market, on Saturday mornings by 7:30 to buy sour leaf in the summer. And people would buy whole stacks of it, take it home, freeze it, either sell it to other Burmese families or use it themselves. It was like this underground. I just was fascinated by it.
So it's an important ingredient for Burmese cooking.
Well, that particular dish is interesting. I don't think Americans are familiar with the sour leaf, and I don't think they're very familiar with bamboo shoot. It can be really pungent. I definitely don't think the Americans are familiar with shrimp paste. Yeah. You put all those three ingredients together, it's a little strange. It might be an acquired taste, but it's something that a lot of Burmese people love. So I think that we have to be really careful how we introduce that dish. And
in this section, you talk about New Roots Garden. What is that?
It's a garden behind the Laney College in Oakland, and the IRC, the International Rescue Committee, has this one of their initiatives is helping refugees from various areas that might have been rural, finding places in urban areas to farm, because they say if you're from the Chin state, you're used to living in a rural area and you're kind of plunked into Oakland and you're assimilating, but how you might still miss having that local garden. So what New Roots does is it brings together different refugees that the IRC is helping resettle and gives them space. And right now, one of their spaces, they're nationwide, but one of their spaces is behind Laney College, and you would never know it was there. It's pretty amazing. Mm.
And there's these gardens all across the country. I didn't realize it's not just in Oakland.
Right. Actually, speaking of sour leaf, I think it's in Arizona, one of their big ones. They grow tons of it there.
It was just a remarkable. Did you know about these gardens, these New Roots Gardens?
I didn't know about that one, but to your point, it's fascinating that across the country, where refugees from Southeast Asia and other places have settled, they've created food cultures there that are quite amazing. I was just, to that point, I was just in Tucson, and I was, of all places, and Tucson is the first, because of the influx of people from all over the world, it's the first heritage food site in the world, Tucson, Arizona. So who would have thought?
Wow. We'll take a break at that point. We'll be right back with more conversation with Desmond Tan. His family owns the Burma Superstar Restaurants in the Bay Area, along with Kate Leahy. They've co-written the book, Burma Superstar, Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Brand new. This is Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, in the KSRO kitchen.
I'm Stephen Curry,
Kevin Durant,
Sean Livingston,
Steve Kerr,
David West,
Tasha McCall,
and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play,
KSRO.
KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden, La Vida Buena Nursery, and Ma and Pa Gardens. Savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, Parsons homegrown hothouse tomatoes, and healthy green salads. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, rabbit, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Chalk Hill Cookery provides yummy plant-based foods, and Lata's Indian Cuisine is always a sellout. Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder and fresh crabs. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
And now, here's a health update from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
In Sonoma and Marin counties, being outdoors hiking, camping, and enjoying the fresh air is what we do. Living in the tall grasses on the hillsides and the fallen leaves along the trails are ticks. Ticks are year-round in Marin and Sonoma counties, so be sure to protect yourself from ticks and tick-borne diseases by applying a repellent containing DEET to exposed skin. Wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and long pants, and check yourself for ticks. Don't forget to check your pets for ticks, too.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge.
Learn more about ticks at msmosquito.com.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Overcast with a little rain today, high 58, 53 on the coast, partly cloudy tonight, low 36, 44 on the shores. Sunday's partly sunny at 62, 55 in Bodega Bay. A bit cloudy for Monday at 63, 58 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen this morning, Desmond Tan, Kate Leahy, co-authors of Burma Superstar, Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Of course, their restaurants in San Francisco, Oakland, Alameda are raising quite a lot of interest and have for many, many years. And delightful to have them with joined John Ash and Steve Garner this morning in the release of their new cookbook. We're down to the stir fries and fast cooked dishes. And there's a chili lob, is it? Is that... Lamb, the chili lamb dish. Is that a popular one at the restaurant?
It's a really popular dish.
Can we do this at home?
You can do this at home.
It's in the book, so I'm assuming
it's in the book,
can.
Yeah. And it's what was it, Michael Mina told you that it was his favorite dish?
He goes there, you know, I've seen him a couple of times, but I don't keep track of who he was.
That's the stir fries and fast dishes. The noodle dish, rainbow salad. How many ingredients are that?
Wow, a lot.
I think we maybe live in a culture where, you know, minimal ingredients, you know, it's the way to go. But we thought maybe, let's throw in 23 in there and see what happens.
That's how many ingredients in the rainbow salad. Right.
But you make the point. You can do whatever you want. Right. You don't have to.
So basically, you know, this dish, it's a dish that people make when there are special occasions in Burma. But you have these 23 ingredients, but people just pick and choose what they want to put in their plate, and they make their own salad. So not people don't normally put all 23 ingredients in the restaurants we do.
But you do. Well, what was interesting, though, is that it used to be called, like the translation, the direct translation is hand-mixed salad.
Right.
So
because there's so many dishes that you have to mix it with hand, but it's not very appealing to call it a hand mixed salad. But it's so colorful, and Joycelyn came up with the name, you know, rainbow salad. Now it's known as a rainbow salad, you know, at all
the Burmese
restaurants.
Yeah. And on to the soup section, and John has been dying to talk about mohinga, aren't you?
Well, you referenced it right in the beginning of the book. It was your family's favorite dish, or something that got you in the restaurant business?
I think this is a dish, it's a national dish for a lot, I think it's considered as a national dish. This is a dish that a lot of people in Burma eat as a breakfast and lunch, and is widely available at street food, at stalls, everywhere. So it's a catfish chowder soup. And really flavorful.
There's a lot of different regional ways to approach mohinga. So we included two mohinga recipes in the book, one with catfish and another one, I think, that takes after from the Rakhine State, which is on the coast, so they don't use as much catfish there. So we wanted to use a non-catfish version. And you can be flexible on what kind of fish you use, but one is more peppery, and the other one is it's spicier in a way, if that makes any sense.
But this was like no catfish soup I've ever encountered reading the recipe. I didn't understand this. This is not whole fillets of fried catfish. I grew up in the South, so I have catfish in my blood, okay? Fishing for it and consuming it. But this is made into a ground paste, isn't it?
And that's what happens at the restaurant. People say, where's the catfish? Where's the catfish in the soup?
It's stewed for a couple of hours.
The catfish is. Right. And then it's boned, and then the meat is taken off.
And you cook it into a paste with the aromatics. So you have lemongrass, ginger, garlic, red onion, and you cook that down. So the catfish itself sort of falls apart, and it gives a creaminess to the broth itself.
Oh, it sounds sensational. The samosa soup, was the most, I references, I think, the most popular soup at the restaurant?
Correct.
What is samosa?
Samosa, it's basically a samosa. It's a stuff with potato.
It's a classic Indian kind of a little snack.
But now you spell the little S-A-M-U-S-A.
For some reason, it's always been spelled that way.
It's actual pronunciation for us when we created that dish. And it could have been samosa, samosa, but we pronounced it as a samosa.
Samosa.
It makes it much more exotic.
And it's the most popular, or one of the most popular soups at the restaurant.
It is.
And
it
I noticed they also had the sour leaf. Sour leaf
I had
soup
to get more sour leaf in there if I was going to spend all that real estate explaining what it was.
You're on a mission.
I'm on a mission. Okay. I think more people, if you like sorrel, like you're thinking of a French sorrel sauce, and that lemony sourness that comes from it, I think sour leaf could be on the brink of breaking out into a bigger market.
Yeah, I can see you will not rest until
I
that
will
happens.
Not rest. No.
So why don't we take a break and we'll come back, and then we're going to start the assembly process for the lapet. Right? The traditional salad. This is the, as you mentioned, one of the foundations of
tea leaf salad.
The tea leaf salad. Yeah. And it's going to be prepared in real time the KSRO kitchen this morning. Burma Superstar is with us in the KSRO kitchen. Desmond Town and Kate Leahy. New book, Addictive Recipes from Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Oh, by the way, one of you listeners will win an autographed copy of this book at the end of the show.
Hey, it's Joe Pags, and I believe talk radio doesn't have to be boring. Please try KSRO's new Joe Pags Show, weeknight 6 to 9 on KSRO.
On today's SoCo Sun Show, we're going to discuss the process of adding a sunroom to your home with Sonoma County Sunrooms. First of all, David, with your experience, you can provide invaluable assistance with the design concept.
Yeah, our process is like hiring an architect, but without the fees.
By using a selection of pre-engineered materials, a building plan can be developed and an estimated cost can be determined, allowing for a smoother process.
Well, that's got to save thousands of dollars, too.
It does. This helps reduce the upfront costs of remodeling. Why use a manufacturer like Four Seasons Sunrooms? Their sunrooms have a unique modular design. The components are selected to enhance any home, and the look is incredible. The patented glass technology blocks the heat in the summer and retains heat in the winter. And keep in mind, we can replace older, less efficient sunrooms.
Learn how to maximize your investment with a free in-home design consultation. Get a glimpse at SoCoSun.com or visit Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue, south of Todd. SoCoSun. Design. Installations. Remodeling.
For almost 50 years, United Way of the Wine Country has been dedicated to improving lives locally. They're deeply committed to achieving lasting solutions for the entire community in the areas of education, financial stability, and health. Through programs such as Schools of Hope, School Readiness Backpacks, Summer Reading Packs, and Little Free Libraries, and Earn It, Keep It, Save It, United Way is creating opportunities for a better life for all. We all win when a child succeeds in school, when all families and individuals are financially stable, and when people are healthy. It takes everyone in the community working together and living united to create a brighter future. To find out how you can give, advocate, or volunteer with the United Way of the Wine Country, go online to unitedwaywinecountry.org or call United Way at 707-528-4485. That's 707-528-4485.
You've heard about reverse mortgages 100 times on TV, but have you ever heard the whole story? Hi, I'm David Carter, NMLS ID 540322. I've been in the mortgage industry for 12 years, and I specialize in reverse mortgages. If you're 62 or older and you own your home, let's talk. Simply tell me your needs and goals, and I can explain how this great financial tool works. Call me at 707-235-8786 for an appointment. Santa Rosa is my home, and this is where I've guided people like you through the process for 12 years. There's no obligation. So call 707-235-8786 to learn more.
Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS 1019941. Full licensing at nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Not available to Hawaii and New York residents. Terms and conditions apply. Reverse mortgages are first mortgages. A reverse mortgage is a home secured debt payable upon default or maturity event. Call 973-842-2448 or 888-494-0882. Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California Finance Lender's Law license.
That's a great question. I get that all the time. I'm so glad you asked.
Dr. Walter Tom loves questions.
Yes, varicose veins can be painful. I have them and so does my mom, so I get it. The cool thing is that treatments are no longer painful.
In fact, Dr. Tom thinks you should ask as many questions as you like before any procedure.
I understand your concerns. That's why I do all my surgeries under local anesthesia. It's the safest way to have a procedure.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush and thinks every question is a good question.
You're really not asleep for the surgery. Local means that I can communicate during the procedure and we can make sure that you get what you really want. You're going to have less pain and a quicker recovery.
Dr. Walter Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation. Call Dr. Walter Tom at 542-8346 or go online to drwaltertom.com. Your questions matter to Dr. Tom.
Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. And John, now we've gotten to the main act.
We have. Right. We have. And and this is, I mean, you've known about this because you've eaten at Burmese restaurants for a long time. But I think it's still a relatively unknown dish, this amazing salad.
And it's kind of the linchpin of the book, at least one of the most important recipes and the whole story that you wrote, Kate. The Burma Superstar Fermented Tea Leaf Salad, the whole history of Eat Your Tea, the story of Myanmar's most mysterious food is what you called it, correct?
Correct.
And what makes this tea so special? I mean, it has to be handled in a different way. You can't just open up a packet of tea.
Well, and especially, you know, being in wine country, you would understand that you can't just grow this tea anywhere. It has to grow. The best tea to make La Pet, the fermented tea leaf, comes from the township of Namsan. But within that township, there's a village called Zayan. And Zayan is the, like, if you're talking, I mean, that is Grand Cru.
That's the epicenter.
Yeah. And that is where I think the soil type just lends itself to growing the Assam tea in a way that lends itself to fermenting. And after it's fermented, it doesn't oxidize as quickly. It doesn't get dark brown or even black. It stays in this like a beautiful sort of golden color. And it smells fresher. Mm. So even after it's been aged for 6 months underground.
So Desmond, you contract with farmers in Myanmar to grow this tea and then import it to use in the restaurant?
Correct.
That's correct. And the products we have in front of us, we have a fermented tea leaf, the lapet, in a jar, all right, that is going to be available retail or is kind of available at goodeggs.com. Is that correct? Now, we have an expert here, marketing person.
Oh, I'm not an expert, but yes, our products are in about 15 Bay Area stores. We're in Berkeley Bowl, Alameda Marketplace, Good Eggs, available online at goodeggs.com. We're at the Market on Market. We're in Gus's Community Market. We're also in Whole Foods, in 44 Whole Foods in Northern California.
And they can get the fermented tea leaf, the lapet.
They can get our grab-and-go version of the lapet, but of the actual product, they can get that at all those Bay Area stores, or easily just go online to goodeggs.com.
And the crunchy salad topper and savory snack mix, which is part of the salad.
Correct. So the lapet, which translated means fermented tea leaves, are accompanied by the traditional Burmese crunchy mix, which is a combination of fried garlic chips, fried chickpeas, roasted peanuts, roasted sesame seeds, and toasted sunflower seeds. So this combination creates this umami sort of flavor mixed with the lapet.
Yeah, you mentioned, Kate, this is not your salad with balsamic vinegar. rid of your Western idea of what salad is. This is Burmese salad. Mm. It's very different.
No ranch dressing.
I wanted to put that in the book. I think the editor cut that line out.
So is Desmond going to create this salad right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay, so run us through what the steps are. And Kate, why don't you be our play-by-play?
Okay, I will be the play-by-play. I've always wanted to do play-by-play.
Okay, so tell us what goes in first.
Well, you have romaine salad here, right?
Yeah, so we got the romaine salad in a bowl. And so what we're going to do is we're going to build the salad. We're going to add all the crunchy bits that Irene just explained. It's really great. Like the fried garlic adds such a nice kind of pungency and crunch to it. So crunchy bits go in. And then we're going to add and you could also build this individually in piles on a plate. You could have this
at restaurants. That's how they do it.
At the restaurant, then a server comes to the table and mixes it tableside. And I asked one of your servers, Desmond, the other day, how long it took him to learn how to do that, and he said about a month. And now he can do it in 20 seconds. I think that's pretty impressive to do tableside service like that.
So we're adding the crunchy split yellow peas, the toasted sunflower seeds, the garlic chips, the sesame seeds, the roasted peanuts, all of that.
Right.
All of that goes in on top of the romaine.
Of the romaine. And now we're adding the lapet itself. And the lapet that we're adding to the salad has already been seasoned with some salt, and it's been blended with canola oil. So think of the lapet as like the vinaigrette. It's going to be what's going to give that salad. It's going to coat the leaves. And now we're adding a little lemon juice. Okay. You could also use lime juice if that's what you had. I think Burma Superstars long used lemon juice. That was just easy to find when it opened in 1992. And so once the lemon goes in...
Are you going to ask a question, John?
Yeah. So this fermented tea, how long does it last? Is it shelf stable?
This tea... It probably is shelf stable. We recommend refrigerating it because it is blended with a little garlic, I think ginger. Right now, Desmond's adding a little ground dried shrimp to the salad.
Wow.
That boosts the umami even more.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
And then with the tea leaf, the tea itself, when it's in Myanmar aging, it can last for years, especially underground in a cool area. Sometimes farmers don't sell it till 2 years. If the product's not selling that fast, they can keep aging it.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was fascinating. In the book, you made the comment that half of the tea consumed in Burma is eaten. It's not made into drinking.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah.
And those are one of the only places, parts of China, as you mentioned, and Burma, Myanmar, where you eat the tea rather than drink it. I mean, drinking tea is an important part of the culture also.
Right, right.
But no other place in the world really consumes tea as an important part of the cuisine.
It's also a celebratory thing. It's when you're eating tea, oftentimes at the end of a meal to digest, if you serve it in a lacquerware, it's a special occasion. Mm. So you drink tea all the time, but you eat tea it's a special occasion, especially when you get the fine whole leaf tea that you would eat. So Desmond's finishing the salad. We have onions, jalapenos, and a little dash of fish sauce to
and
give.
And the tomatoes he added.
And the tomatoes, yeah, thank you, that give it that, just round out the flavors and give it that typical savory
maybe
Burmese
flavor. If we're
taste.
Quiet, maybe we can hear him toss. Mm-hmm. Let's be quiet. Oh, yeah, I can hear that crunchy tossingness in the bowl on the air. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he did a splash of fish sauce on top, too.
Correct.
So a little bit more moisture. Wow, it's just, can't you mm-hmm. taste this mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm. And a little bit of jalapenos to taste, correct?
Right.
And usually when you go to a Burmese restaurant, you can ask, leave the jalapenos out, or yeah, extra jalapenos. So because your server is preparing it at the table, which is nice, you can kind of have it customized to your liking. Good, we're gonna serve that up. And in the book, the recipe is on the back of the card for the Burma Superstar cookbook, correct?
Correct.
Which is nice.
It's also on the back of the jar when they purchase the kit.
Oh, thank you for doing that. That makes it really easy. So we're going to be enjoying the tea leaf salad. The next section, by the way, while they're dishing up, is called drinks. And I like the cocktail program at Burma Superstar. And the whole story about creating a beer that you serve at Burma Superstar. You're working with a local Bay Area, I think, Oakland-based brewer. Is that correct?
Correct.
Ale industry.
Yeah. The beer is so popular, too. It's really a great, great beer, especially with your food, Desmond. It's the story being that when you go to Myanmar, you get Myanmar beer. That's what that's the brand name. Mm. Oh. And it doesn't change. And it's fine. It's great when it's a hot day. Serve it over ice like they do in Southeast Asia. But in the Bay Area, we're used to more variety and we're used to different types of beer. So, Desmond, you wanted to set out to make a better beer to pair with your food.
Yeah. I wanted a beer that goes well with the curries and the dishes
went well
that
with the food
in the restaurant.
I would love to have a temescal, that cucumber drink.
Yeah.
That sounds really refreshing at one of the bars.
Really refreshing.
And there's also a snacks and sweets section. Now, was that challenging because there's not a real strong tradition of desserts in the Burmese cuisine, is there?
It was challenging because a lot of the so-called desserts are eaten as snacks in the middle of the day rather than after mm-hmm. a meal. You would have, after a meal, you might have, eat some tea leaf. But, you might have your sweet snack at mid-afternoon or so. But one of the most the dessert I saw over and over again was the semolina cake. It's just got this great Southeast Asia texture for desserts, a chewiness and a little bit of coconut flavor that kind of carries through without being too sweet. It's definitely one of my favorite desserts.
Well, and you have the recipe if someone wants to attempt it for pratha.
That's true. That's true.
It's not that difficult. It's just you have to be focused.
You have to be focused.
Because it's like the Burmese croissant.
Oh, yeah, and it is so good.
And you feature the pastry chef in the book, a beautiful photo of him making the plotha. You call him the plotha man.
Plotha man, yeah.
In the book.
I was talking with him. Our photographer for the book, John Lee, was shooting these amazing photos while we were chatting with him about how he does his job, what he like, how he makes the plotha. And, sometimes he'll put on Burmese soap operas because he's sort of left alone. That's baker hours, right? And he can sit there watching his Burmese soaps and make his plotha, make the dough.
The photos, we should mention that the book also functions as a travel log. You really want to go to Myanmar and travel after looking at the evocative photos in the book. So congratulations on this.
Thank you.
Is this sour leaf on the front?
That is sour leaf. I know.
You really have
secrets out.
To make your favorite little sour leaf on the front of the book. That's just beautiful. And then when you open the book, is this some famous temple in the front of the book?
Yeah, it's a really spiritual, a lot of Burmese consider it a really spiritual place. It's called Mount Popa. It's right by Bagan. And Bagan, it's a beautiful a magical place, just thousands and thousands of stupas, temples. Mm. Yes, I think that's a place that we must go every time we go to Bagan.
Is Burma changing? I mean, should we get there now before the hotels come and all the golf courses?
Well, every time Desmond went, you would always be remarking that it's so different. 6 months goes by, mm-hmm. and it's so different mm-hmm. already. Yeah.
Every 6 months is you know, it's different. There are new constructions going, new hotels are going up, and all the old airports are being replaced by the new ones at, you know, all the cities that we go to. And you know, in the past when we went, you never see the big tour buses, and now you know you see a lot of big tour buses, and it's changing quickly. I think the next 3-6 months is going to be very different from today.
So go now.
Go now.
Go now.
Yeah.
Can you fly direct from San Francisco to where? What's the routing?
We flew to Taipei and then flew from Taipei to Yangon.
Yeah. Maybe you know, the best way to go to Burma is through China Airlines. There's only one layover in Taipei, and they're from there straight to Burma.
You still have family?
Yes.
That you visit. And I love that was almost brought you to tears, the story of you going to your own neighborhood, your old house. Knocking on the door, and who answers the door?
My uncle.
Your uncle, who you didn't recognize.
Right. Well, mainly because in the old days, when you leave Burma, you leave Burma for good. You know, you don't think about going back because you can't, but things have changed over the years.
So you recognize this is your uncle, and then your aunt is coming down the street.
I didn't recognize
him. You didn't recognize him as your uncle. You started talking about who used to live in this house?
Right. And it took about 5 minutes of fact gathering before I realized that, you know, he was my uncle.
Your father's brother.
Correct.
And then you established contact with your aunt also?
She walked in. To the conversation.
Pretty overwhelming. Pretty overwhelming. And you got to meet some cousins at that during that trip too?
Yes.
Wow. That's the soul of the book, a lot of the soul of the book, besides all the great recipes of these family stories.
Well, the last part of the book is really the gold, I think, and that's the pantry. You know, all of these things that once prepared make cooking really easy.
And these are available in the Bay Area, or you can get these ingredients. Mm-hmm. You may... sure of that when you're writing the recipes.
I mean, the trickier things, like obviously sour leaf or the lapette, we call out that these are going to be harder to find, but they're not the majority of the recipes. You don't need those ingredients to make the majority of the recipes. And also, the ingredient availability changes so quickly. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina on an unrelated trip, and I was in this strip mall. There was an Asian grocery store, kind of like a Ranch 99. Next door was this tiny store, and it was called Myanmar Store. So I walked in, there were all these ingredients from Burma. Mm. And the woman there was a Chin refugee who's had settled in the Greensboro area. And apparently there's a big Chin community there. And I found lapette. I found ingredients for mohinga. I found everything I would need to cook Burmese food.
It's remarkable. I love the Burma love photos of all your staff. So you honor your cooks, your staff throughout the entire book.
You know, the Burma superstar, it should be Burma superstars. And, I'm not the star. And the chef is, you know, they're not the stars. It's just everybody. I think everybody's important. I think the dishwasher might be the hardest person to replace.
Amen.
Because there's a certain rhythm there. And we're such a busy restaurant. If he's out sick, you know, we're going to need 2-3 people to do his job. And but then, you know, the reminder to what Kate was saying earlier was that we didn't have a recipe book, you know, for Kate to work with. And that's because, you know, we've had so many kitchen staff, you know, who've been there for such a long time. You know, they can do multiple tasks, multiple, you know, stations. We didn't need a book.
That's because you had it all right there. And then the last photo is of the knives. Beautiful photo of the knives used in the kitchen. So, Desmond, I would like to ask you, your favorite number today between 1 and 15, what is it?
I guess it will have to be my my birth date right in the middle, 7.
Caller number 7 at 636-1350 will win this autographed copy of Burma Superstar, Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia, brand new, just coming out. Caller number 7 at 636-1350 will have it autographed by both of the authors, Desmond Tan and Kate Leahy. Thank you so much for coming up from the Bay Area to sit in with us today. It's been beautiful meeting you.
Thanks for having us.
And we're going to
dive for lunch.
Yes, we're going to dive into the tea leaf salad as soon as I press this next button. Join John Ash and me next week in the KS Arto Kitchen, our pre-Easter show, okay? We'll do a little talk.
We'll have peeps on the show?
We'll have peeps on the show.
Okay.
Stick around. Clark Wolf at the table following the news. This is KS Arto.